Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Andy. I'm one of the pastors here at Belfast City Vineyard, and it is great to be with you. We are in week two of a sermon series going through Ephesians, one of St. Paul's letters to the house churches in and around Ephesus. It's found in the New Testament in your Bible, and the church has been thinking about and studying and meditating on this letter ever since Paul wrote it. It has had a profound effect and impact on followers of Jesus ever since. Last week, I did a talk introducing this sermon series and introducing this letter, and we went through what even is this thing called Ephesians and why should we care about it, even in the midst of everything that is going on in our world right now. And if you missed that talk, you can find it on our website or our YouTube channel, and you can catch up with all of that. We're calling this sermon series Foundations because Ephesians powerfully and beautifully shows us what God has done for us in Jesus, and then tells us how we should then live in light of that. Dr. Tim Mackey says it this way. In Ephesians, Paul summarizes the whole gospel story and how it should reshape every part of our story. It offers us a foundation to place our lives on, our identities on, and our worldview on. We're also calling it Foundations because we believe that God is building us up as a church and building us up as individuals. And this letter and our time in it together will strengthen those foundations significantly. So today what we're going to do is we're going to tackle the first three verses of chapter one. I know many of you were hoping I would blaze through this at warp speed, but you should know me better by now. We're going to do the first three verses of chapter one. Verses one and two of chapter one are the letter's greeting, and then verses 3 to 14 of chapter 1 are this amazing introduction to the letter. And in order for us to cover this really well and not rush past some important things, I'm going to cover the first three verses along with some important background structure that will help us out a lot. And then next week we'll cover verses 4 to 14 of chapter 1. So you can be reading along and reading during the week and getting ready for all of that. You know, our conviction is that this is an important series for us as a church. The Spirit of God has some things for us as we meditate on the truths found in this letter. So we won't be afraid to take it slow and to go as deep as we can. So let's start from the very beginning with the greeting section and look at verses 1 and 2. Well, letters in the ancient world followed a pattern. You would have had who it's from, and then who it's to, and then a greeting of some kind. You found that in most letters in the ancient world, certainly when Paul was writing letters. And Ephesians has that in chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell a lot about the opening of a letter, can't you? You know, still sometimes through your post you get, you know, a letter from a business that's kind of cold calling you, and, you know, it might say, "Dear Occupier," or something like that. And when you get one of those, you know, it's cold and it's formal. It's from someone who doesn't know you and just wants something from you, right? But a letter from a beloved friend or family member is really different how those letters open, isn't it? Well, we need to look at how Ephesians starts, and that will give us a clue as to what's going to happen in the rest of the letter. So the letter again starts with Paul saying it's he who's writing to them, and he calls himself an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Apostle means sent one, and it was a title given to those commissioned with authority over churches. Next is, of course, who the letter was written to, and it's to the saints, or God's holy people in Ephesus, the believers in Jesus. Saints here doesn't mean that you are perfect. It simply means that you're chosen and set apart by a holy God and called to reflect His holiness in the world around you, and you're made holy by your faith and belief in Jesus. And in many of his letters, Paul opened them and wrote them to the saints or to God's holy people. Well, in verse 2, we see the greeting that Paul uses, and it's the same as he uses in many of his letters, grace and peace, grace and peace. And it functions in this letter like an invocation or an opening prayer of blessing to those he's writing to. The apostle is writing to these churches and he's blessing them. And he's making sure that they know that the posture of God towards them is grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace is a really important theme in Ephesians. And we're going to see that as we move through it. And in the letter, it has a kind of a double meaning. First, it's God's unmerited favor towards you and towards me in providing Jesus as a Savior for our sin. God sent Jesus not in response to your goodness. He sent Jesus according to His plan, showing His grace, His unmerited favor to all. But it's also, grace in Ephesians isn't just this one-time thing where we come to faith in Jesus as a response to God's grace and unmerited favor. It's also an ongoing, day-to-day, minute-by-minute provision, helping us to live in faith in Jesus, to turn from our sin and to resist temptation. It helps us follow Jesus, to stay faithful, and to do all of the things He's asked us and commanded us to do. We are daily given grace to do all we need to do. So how are we saved and brought into life with God? By grace, through faith, as Ephesians chapter 2 will tell us. How do we keep going with following Jesus, dealing with trials and suffering and setbacks? How do we stay faithful to all that Jesus asks and commands us? By His grace through faith. And my sense, as I've talked to lots and lots of people about Jesus over the last 20 years, is that many of us don't have an issue with the first understanding of grace. You know, coming to Jesus for the very first time, you know, we ask for His mercy and grace to cover over our sin. We get that. But then we go to follow Jesus and move on through our life after that, and we forget how, or no one ever taught us how, to reach out to Jesus minute by minute in faith for His grace as we do what we can to follow Jesus. So one of my questions for us this morning is do we ask for and expect daily grace to follow Jesus, to meet all our challenges, and to do what Jesus has asked of us to do? Do we expect daily, minute by minute, grace to help us to love others and serve others? Do we expect and ask for grace to do our jobs, to lead our families, to do ministry, to manage our inner lives, to deal with our hopes and dreams and fears, the seemingly impossible challenges and tasks we face? Do we ask for minute by minute daily grace for those things? Daily living in grace, praying and asking for it, is really the front lines for the follower of Jesus. And what if one of the foundational practices that we took on as we studied this letter together was exactly this, that we began to build a foundation of asking for, expecting, and watching for minute by minute daily grace to follow Jesus well and to do all that He has asked us to steward? If we can learn to do that, that will change our life. Well, this grace and peace, it's not from Paul. It's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our modern ears don't really catch it, but Paul just got really, really political right in the opening part of his letter. In the Roman Empire, and this is the context Paul was writing, the emperor was known and revered as the father of the empire. So Paul is saying to these churches gathered near this influential Roman city, God is your father, not the political leader, not the emperor, not the political system. Look to God, your Father, and He has grace and peace towards you. His grace and peace towards you. And His Son Jesus is now our Lord as well. Ephesians is going to push us really hard on what we think of Jesus. Is He our Lord? Is He worthy of following, obeying, and worshiping? Are we not sure about the answer to those questions? Are we pretending like we don't have to answer those questions? Have we relegated Him to Lord when we agree with Him, or we think He agrees with us, or it feels good to do that, and we ignore Him when we want to be the Lord of our own lives? Well, this letter is going to hold Jesus up to us as the risen Lord of heaven and earth. And it's going to ask us, what do we think of Him? And if you're avoiding this question, it's time to face it. If you're not sure about what you think of Jesus, this is a great journey to be on. Let Ephesians tell you about Jesus and what He has done for you. And let Ephesians invite you to begin following Him as Lord. And if you've been following Jesus for a long time, but you've just pretended like you don't have to deal with this question, and you've let obedience and purity and hope in Jesus just slip away from your life, this is going to be a time for you to return to Him, to re-embrace Him as Lord, to maybe do some repentance and re-look to Him as your Lord. Now, you might be just saying, look, Andy, you're barely two verses in here, and why should I care about a formulaic intro to an ancient letter? Well, I would just say that no matter how you're experiencing life this morning, no matter how you feel about yourself this morning, no matter how you're feeling about Ephesians or God or His Son Jesus this morning, the posture of our Creator, Father God, towards you is grace and peace. Grace and peace. So my question back to you is, well, what if He's not angry with you? What if He's not angry with you? What if grace and peace are the opening lines of a conversation God wants to have with you this morning? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've left undone, what if God has grace and peace for you? This is really hard for many of us, isn't it? Because we're actually more comfortable with God being a little bit or a lot bit angry with us. Well, what if you have God wrong? And what if Ephesians is this new foundation to understand and grasp the love of God for you in Jesus and to make it central to your life, to begin to live from that solid foundation? And what if in the first two verses of this letter, we see foundations to build our lives on right now in the midst of this crazy storm that we find ourselves in? Grace and peace. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you think about that this morning and this week and forever? Well, let's move on. And I've entitled this section, Help, What Is This? Help, What Is This? Because actually, as we start to look to verse 3 and then out into next week, verses 3 to 14, we need to understand that those verses are actually one big section. But, you know, but Paul will just explode into this section, and it can quickly get overwhelming and feel like you're trying to get a drink from a fire hose. So before we just leap in to start talking about verses, here are a few things that are going to help us, especially if we're new to reading the Bible. And it's going to just, and I want to just give us some structure to these verses so we really land it well over the next couple of weeks. Because if you start reading it, all of a sudden there's lots happening and it's overwhelming. So let's start with language. Let's start with language. Well, the Old Testament part of your Bible was originally written in Hebrew. And the New Testament part of your Bible was written in Greek. So Ephesians is in the New Testament, and Paul, of course, wrote Ephesians then in Greek. And here is an example of what it looks like. And this is actually Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And it just simply says, bless or praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ. That's what it says right there. And so that's a little example of what Ephesians looks like in Greek. And when you or I read it in English from our Bible translations, you're reading an accurate translation. You can have real confidence that we know actually what it means. But it was originally written in Greek, and so it had to be translated into English. And if you're just wondering, like, how on earth, where do we get the Bible? How do we get the New Testament? How do we get the Old Testament? We did a good few months ago now a little sermon on how to read the Bible. And as part of that, in our resources section of our website, we put up some links and resources and links to the Bible Project, which we've talked about before here in BCV. And Bible Project is a nonprofit who believe that the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus. And they do these series of really short, you know, 5 to 7 minute videos explaining different things about the Bible and God and Jesus. And they are really great, and you should check them out. So there's a link on there. And the Bible Project has produced a number of videos about what is the Bible, how to read the Bible, the different parts of the Bible. And if you want to go on a deep dive, jump over there and you can check that out. All right. So that's a little bit on language. I want to talk now about terms. I want to talk about terms. And Paul is going to use this term Christ, or Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ a lot. And especially in Ephesians, he wants you to know that everything that we have from God is in Christ. If we're his followers, we're in Christ. Now, Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Christ is his title. It means anointed one and deliverer. And when the Old Testament, again, written in Hebrew, was translated into Greek, and that's known as the Septuagint. Hang with me. It's getting nerdy, but just hang with me. The Hebrew word Messiah, the Savior God promised to send to heal and rule and lead the nation to life, the one that everyone was longing for, who would save the people from their sins. That word Messiah in Hebrew was translated Christos, or in English we would say Christ. So Christ Jesus is Messiah Jesus, or Savior Jesus. Okay, and Paul's going to use that a lot. So it's not Jesus' last name, it's his title. So stay with me. We're really geeking out now, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. Okay, so we've talked about terms. Let's talk about structure. Let's talk about structure. So, as I said earlier, verses 3 to 14 is a whole section that we need to look at. But it's actually, believe it or not, verses 3 to 14 is one huge long sentence when you read it in Greek. It's 202 words long, and it's all one sentence in Greek. And how the language and punctuation work in Greek, it lets you get away with that if you're writing, thinking, and reading in Greek. But it's really cumbersome in English. And a couple of times in Paul's letters, he gets carried away with big sentences like this, and this is one of them. And at first glance, when we're reading in English, it's a bit complicated and a bit overwhelming. But here is some structure and background just to help us over the next 2 weeks. These verses are actually an opening blessing poem of praise to God that also functions as a clue towards where Paul is going to go in the rest of the letter. So it's meant to lead us into praise, and it also introduces themes that he's going to deal with. It's really intricate, and it's super creative. So it's meant to bring us into worship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit right away. But it also introduces themes and tells us what he's going to be talking about. And it's not meant to be read like a tweet or, you know, bullet points on a report that you kind of half read or something like that, but it is meant to be sat with and thought through and prayed through and meditated on. It's that kind of writing. There are just many, many different layers and depths to this section. So verse 3 is the main point and summary of the section. We're going to talk about verse 3 in a second, which is just simply praising God for all he's done for us in Jesus. And then verses 4 to 14 are three main reasons why we should praise God. Three big things that God has done for us. So I've diagrammed the verses out for you just a little bit. Again, I told you it was going to get worse before it got better. We're diagramming Greek verses here, which is fun for some of us and not for others. But anyway, you can see here, you see verse 3, the main point is praise God, and that is the dominant thought for the section. And then you've got the reasons why, and you've got three main reasons why. He chose us, He forgave us, and He sealed us. Now, you'll notice there that verses 4 to 6 and 11 and 12 say exactly the same thing, and that's because they're parallel sets of verses, meaning they say the same thing slightly different. And that's a very Jewish or Hebraic way of writing from Paul's day. You see this a lot in the Psalms and the Proverbs in the Old Testament. And it's just a way for the writer to call attention and return our attention to really important things. And both those sets of verses, verses 4 to 6 and verses 11 to 12, tell us how that we've been blessed and we should praise God because He's chosen us and predestined us for life with Him. Verses 7 to 10 tell us to praise God because He forgave us and because He's also revealed His plan to us. And then verses 13 to 14 tell us that we're to praise God because He's marked us and sealed us forever with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to cover all of that next week, but I want to focus us back in on verse 3, the main point of the whole section for the rest of our time together this morning. And it just simply says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So the main thought, the dominant thought, is telling us to praise God. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us. He's blessed us. And then verses 4 to 14 are going to tell us what those blessings are. So you've probably picked up in the language, there's a lot of blessing going on in one short verse. We're to bless or praise God who has blessed us with every blessing. And so here's a few short things for us to think about and understand on this. He says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places or in the heavenly realms. And I just want to call at our attention to this. Everyone, every blessing, not some blessings, not a spare couple of blessings, everyone, every blessing. Not only does God, our Father, have grace and peace towards us, but He has held no blessing back from you. Now, in the Garden of Eden, if you remember that story, the enemy sold Adam and Eve the lie that God was holding out on them. And we've struggled with that lie ever since. You know, if God really loved me, then He would. He must be holding out on me. If God were really good, then He would do usually whatever I want Him to do, right? And we've all struggled with that. And that's one of the first lies that was sown into creation by the enemy. But here Paul says, God's not holding out on you. Every blessing is yours. And it's a spiritual blessing, which simply means there are blessings mediated through the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about more about the Holy Spirit next week. But it's just another reason why here in the Vineyard we love the Holy Spirit. And he talks about these blessings even extend to the heavenly realms. And if you remember last week, we talked about the magic and occult powers in Ephesus and how dominant they were. And most of the people that Paul is writing to came to faith in Jesus from these backgrounds of magic and occult and powers. And for them, the powers and the dark forces dwell in the heavenly realms. And they seek to control and dominate the lives of men and women. And they must be appeased or placated or else curses are going to fall and things like that. That's the worldview that most of the people who came to faith in Jesus, that's what they had. And Paul is just right away saying, no, you have blessing from Almighty God in the heavenly places. And God's power trumps everything. You have nothing to fear from the darkness. God's power is over everything. And all these blessings are found in Christ, it says. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And this is a huge theme in the letter, that if we have put our faith in Jesus, we are in Christ, according to Paul. We are in union with Him. We are joined with Him. We are gathered under Him. We are participating in His life and His kingdom, His goodness, His grace and His mercy covers over our sin and makes us holy. You belong to Him. You are loved by Him and have access to the Lord of heaven for all that you need. All God's blessings are given to you, and they're given to you in Christ. Every single one of them. They all come through Him. And Jesus actually taught us this back in John chapter 14, verse 6, where He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Every blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms comes to us, but it comes to us through Christ. We are in Christ. And anyone who has put their faith and hope in Jesus is in Christ. And last week I said that the theologian Peter O'Brien called Ephesians an identity formation document. And it just begins right here. You are in Christ. If you've put your faith in Jesus, if you've confessed your need of His forgiveness and mercy because of your sin, if you said, I need His love, and you've invited Him to lead you and lead your life, you are saved, you're blessed, you are secure, and you are in Christ. It means you have a new identity in Him, and it is now the foundation to build your life upon. You're not worthless, you're in Christ. You're not useless, you're in Christ. You're not a no one, you're in Christ. You're not rejected, you're in Christ. And so it goes. We need to build our identity on Him. And next week, we're going to dig deeper into the following verses and unpack more of these powerful blessings we have, foundations that we can build our life on. But before I stop, I just feel like God has something to say to a few of us. The first thing I would say is, for many of us, this pandemic has, myself included, really hit our ability to worship. We've been worshiping online or in Facebook Live, or when we've been able to gather in person, we haven't been able to sing out, and we've done our best and we've done all we can, but it's been really, really hard. And if you just get a sense already of the flow of this, it's going to continue next week, but it's about praising God. Paul is this explosion of praise. And I felt the Spirit saying to me, and I think for our church, that we're going to have to praise our way out of this. We're going to have to begin to praise God for all that we have. In the face of a pandemic, in the face of challenges, in the face of strife and fear, we need to praise our way out of this. And Paul was writing this letter not from a beach somewhere holding a Mai Tai. He's writing from prison, and he begins with praise. And if he did that, we can too. Praise is the way out of broken patterns in our life. Praise will be the way into a true identity. And you can jump right into this with our online Wednesday worships, Facebook Live, Wednesday evenings. You can jump in on Sundays and every other opportunity to worship our way, praise our way out of this. Another thing I felt for some of us was just this idea of identity formation. It is really time to start building on the foundations that Paul's going to bring up for us in Ephesians. And our identity needs to shift from something others have put onto us that we wear, like clothes that don't fit, or it's got to shift away from identities that we think we've decided ourselves. It's got to go away from those, and it has to shift to the strong foundation of the identity spoken over you from heaven, that you are in Christ. I believe this is going to be a deeply healing time for many as we linger in Ephesians. And I just would invite you, if you've been following Jesus for a while and this has gone lost for you, just put your hand on your heart right now, wherever you are, and just begin to pray, Jesus, I believe my identity is built on You. Forgive me for where I've put my identity on things that I've made up, or things that others have put on me, or things that I'm chasing in the world around me. I'm returning home. My identity is on You. Lead me, heal me, restore me. And if you have never become a follower of Jesus, but you're sitting here and you're like, I want to be in Christ. I want this. I want to build on this foundation of a true identity. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I want you to put your hand on your heart and just pray along with me. And you can begin following Him. And you can right now go from not being in Christ to being in Christ. So just pray along with me. Jesus, I invite You to take leadership of my life. I give my life to You. I confess I need you for your forgiveness for the wrongs that I have done. I believe you died for me, that you rose again, and that you are Lord. And I ask for your grace and mercy and love to cover me, cleanse me, and heal me. Help me follow you. Help me follow you as Lord and Savior. Send your Holy Spirit to dwell in me. I'm following you. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to hear from you. You can email me at andy@BelfastCityVineyard.com. You've begun your journey of being in Christ. Let Ephesians lead you on. Well, lastly, before we pray, I just feel like there's people that really struggle with self-criticism, perfectionism, self-rejection, and even self-hatred. And you always just assume that God and others are angry with you and ready to reject you. And I felt that really strongly, especially for fathers this morning. If you're a father or a grandfather, maybe you wrestle with this. And I want you to hear that the God of heaven says the opposite over your life and to you. He says, grace and peace to you. He says, live in my grace and live in my peace. And I just want to invite you now to breathe deep and let that sink in. And I felt like I needed to pray for you to begin to lead your family, to do your life in a new way, building on the foundation of asking for grace moment by moment, challenge by challenge, and letting the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father wash over you and reform how you see yourself as a father or a mother or in your job or whatever it is. So let me pray and then I'll give us a benediction and we'll be done. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to lead us further into this wonderful part of your word to us. I pray that we would go deep with you. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that the reality of the Lord Jesus and his good gospel to us would come front and center. Would we be able to do identity formation with you? Heal us, change us, save us, deliver us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.